Well, hi there. Welcome. It is episode 124 of the Planet LP podcast. I'm your host, Ted Asricut. Every now and then on the pod, I like to spotlight an artist whose music may not be popularly known. Well, not yet anyway. But with time, talent, luck, and yes, good connections, these artists have the potential to connect their music to a larger audience. One such artist is Ali Sant. You may not know her now, but she has released her first full-length album, and you should get to know her music, which fuses elements of pop, folk, and Americana in a way that's super pleasing to the ears. Ali is my guest on this episode, where we'll talk about the new album, In Pursuit of a Good Time, that's the name of it. She'll also perform one of the songs from the record here on the podcast. And speaking of a good time, have you been streaming Steve Fox's Old School? It's the place where classic soul and R&B are brought to life with timeless grooves, voices, and culture that shape generations. It's the kind of station that has the right mix that'll keep you feeling fine throughout the day and can be the soundtrack to your party or social gathering at night. Steve Fox is the master blaster who curates the mix. Go to stevefoxoldschool.com. That's stevefoxoldschool.com and press play today. All right. It's Ali Sant. Hello. Welcome back to the Planet LP podcast.
Thank you. I feel like a regular at this point because
this might be the third time you've been
third
on.
Third time. Maybe? Once with just me, I believe.
You're gonna be getting to the five times club, and then you get a free jacket, I think.
Oh my gosh, it's like the SNL thing.
Exactly. Yes. So congratulations on the new album. I've been listening to it quite a bit since it came out last month. I think you released it on July 18th. Is that correct?
July 17th.
Yeah. July 17th. I was off by one day, but yeah. So I know that before releasing this album, you released a lot of single tracks with your old band, Seeing Double. In fact, we featured them. That was the first interview we did with you and the band back in 2023, was it? Or 2022?
That sounds right. I think 22 or 3. Yeah, either one.
I think it was 22. Yeah. And but then you've been on your own releasing music as well. Are the songs on this new album, In the Pursuit of a Good Time, are they new compositions, or are you working from, say, the vault, you know, like some of these songs that you just had maybe had snippets of and you just thought, I'm gonna work on this and see where it goes? There's a little both.
It's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. The oldest song on the record is called Butterfly Effect, and that was actually one that Seeing Double used to play all of our live shows, and we talked about recording. And it was kind of going this more indie rock style. So I said, you know what? Like, this is one of the songs I brought in full to that band. So I was like, I'm going to table it for now, use it for something else. But yeah, like some of the other songs, it was a lot written in like 2023, 2024, as I was like finishing up school up in Oneonta, New York. And then a few of the songs were just like maybe less than a year ago. So it was kind of all over the place. And people say that like you have your whole life to write your first album, which I think is why so many of these were from like the past few years rather than written in like a bulk, you know?
Right. Right. Now, we met up in San Francisco and you were touring around the country, kind of seeing this grass, this vast, country of the US. Can you talk about what inspired you to write certain songs? Like, to me, the title track is straight out of a road trip. I mean, you're seeing a lot of different parts of the country, intersections, and I'm with the band. What's the inspiration for some of these songs?
Yeah, I think the road trip thing is huge. And that was a theme I was hoping to have on this whole album. One of the songs is called I'm with the Band, and that was written inspired by some events from that road trip I was on when we met up. That was like a 3-month long trip with my friend from college that I did play some acoustic shows on, but most of it was just like a bucket list thing. We went to national parks, different cities, and it was like incredible. It was, you know, I'll remember for the rest of my life, but a lot of the other songs on the album were about trips I had taken with the band to go play shows. For example, like In Pursuit of a Good Time there's a line in it, here we are on the road, seeing Illinois and Iowa and all of the Midwestern ones up close. I've seen all the plates. Something about.
But only we've only been to New York State. Yeah.
Thank you. I know. Yeah. I can't like recite it. I have to be singing it or else it'll go out of my head. But that was written about this. The first time I like went and did a little run with my solo band, which was summer of 2024. And we really, it was like touring. Like we were in a very small area that we knew we could probably bring a few people to, because at that point I only had like two songs out. And I'm like, I really want to try this. So along the way we started playing the license plate game. Let's try to find all 50 plates, in a week. And we were joking, 'cause we're like, yeah, like we're on tour, we're seeing, but really we were just like in New Jersey and New York, which was also great, but, not anything super ambitious yet, I guess.
See, I thought you were name checking the states that you went through on this 3-month road trip. No. Yeah. No, but I really love that the title track. I think it's a wonderful song. As you know, I've worked in radio a lot of years. I've listened to a lot of music just in a booth, you know, being a DJ. And so I can hear hooks and things that stand out to me that say, yeah, that could totally go on the air. And right. I did reach out to a friend of mine who runs a streaming station in Wisconsin.
Yes.
And I got the song placed on that in rotation, because his name's John Scott. He runs Lake Ripley Radio, and that's in Cambridge, Wisconsin. South Central Wisconsin's finest rock, by the way. And every now and then he asks me, he says, what are you listening to? And I sent him this song. I said, hey, this, you know, Allie, you added Allie's song, Ace.
Which Ace, he loved. Yeah.
Yeah, he thought he just loved the guitar work on that. And he's a guitarist himself, so I think that kind of was
very guitar heavy song, so that means a lot from him.
Yeah, so we're kind of going back and forth. I think I gave him the new Phoebe Bridgers song, Lost Boys, and there was a couple of others, and so we're kind of going back and forth, and I kind of pitch him, you know, I'm like, hey, so for Allie's, I'm kind of hearing Paul Simon circa, you know, Graceland, maybe Rhythm of the Saints. There's something kind of quirky about the guitar on this when it starts. And I said, see if you hear it. And he wrote back, he goes, love it. It's added. And I said, okay, great.
So, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's so great. And that's like, you clocked me. I mean, those two albums are like those were huge. I was listening to them more so when like writing and arranging Amanda and I'm with the band, but I think that it came out on this track too. I mean, I can only hope. Like that's awesome.
No. And then you've got who plays piano on that track? Oh, it's gorgeous. Whoever so came up good. With that. Yeah. Yeah.
So that is my very good friend, Logan Slansky. Uh-huh. And we met after I had graduated college. So a lot of the people that played throughout this record were other like alum of SUNY Oneonta where I went. But Logan, I met like afterwards, and he was actually going to NYU for his grad studies in jazz piano. So he is he's a student through and through. Like he will tell you the theory of this album if you ask. I'm like, I had no idea. Like he's awesome. And he played keys on pretty much like, I think every one of these songs.
Yeah.
Are there keys in everything? There's even like a little bit of organ hidden in Intersection. So yeah, I think he's featured on every track, but.
Well, it was a gorgeous song. I mean, it really feels like, I mean, to me, it feels like a road trip song, especially with the piano. It's just very expansive and it works really well. So just, you know, kudos to you and the contributors to that song.
Yeah.
That when you were on with your band Seeing Double back in 2022, I was really impressed by the song Bygones, because I was hearing references to Queen. There's sort of the lead guitar break, and it felt like Brian May through and through. And at the time I was sharing this with my then co-host Keith Creighton, and I said, do you hear any of these references? He goes, oh my God, this is really good. I said, they're college students. I said, they're in college. And you just reached out to me, I think maybe from a review of a Madison Cunningham album that I had done with Politos.
That sounds right. That sounds accurate.
Yeah. And so I've been following your musical output since that time. So I've been very impressed by the way in which you've grown as an artist. And I think that this album to me shows a real maturity. It's for someone as young as you. And by that, I mean like the songwriting, the music, even the production, it all sounds so professional. It has the right tone to it. It's just like the mix is very good. You have a mini documentary that's out that is about the making of the record. The musicians you worked with are clearly accomplished. The keyboard player one. And I mean, your guitarist is really great. Your drum, everybody that's contributed to this record is really, really good. So, how did you find these folks? Are these some of your schoolmates from Oneonta or what?
I know. I ask myself the same question. I'm like, how did I find these people so early on too? So, I mean, I have to start by saying that the collaborators I had on this were plenty. Like there were so many of them, most of which I graduated with. So in college, I was playing with a lot of people that lived in upstate New York. Oh my gosh, your background just changed. That's so cool. I was playing with a lot of people that were living in upstate. So I moved back home to Jersey and it was just like harder to be booking shows and playing with those people all the time purely because of distance. So it became Allie and the Long Island Mediums. And it was, that was like our fake backing band name. And it was just a bunch of Oneonta alum that had moved there. Teddy Holly is the lead guitarist on most of these songs. Mia Abazis plays drums on, I think, majority. And then Logan plays keys. And they were definitely like some of my closest collaborators on this. And in my touring band, they are usually the people that are around to play. And then when it comes to bass and percussion, it was a mix of people. I played bass on some, my friend Tara, my friend Jed, it was, and Mikey. And, you know, it's funny because it's seven songs. It's not a long album, but right. I was like, this is the first one. And I know so many talented musicians. So why not try to get everyone in on it, I guess.
Did you produce this record or did you have a producer?
I did.
You produced it yourself.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I had I co-produced it for some of the songs, but yeah, I produced it for the most part.
Wow. That's impressive.
This is like that's my favorite part, honestly. I realized after making it, like the arrangement and producing and coming up with the parts and like being in the room for all of the recording saying, oh, let's try this out. Maybe like a little bit of a different feel here. Like that is my bread and butter. I have so much fun doing that and I can't wait to do more.
You ever see the, there was a dramatization of the music industry during the 90s, during the golden era of hip hop, when like Dr. Dre brought out his first album and Jimmy Iovine was, and granted, this was all it was drama. It wasn't a documentary, but Jimmy Iovine is sitting in the office and listening to this record. And he stops it. And he said, who produced this? And he goes, I did. He goes, you did this? And he said, yeah. I said, holy crap. Because he realized that this person had such an ear for production. And Jimmy Iovine, of course, you know, he's pretty legendary producer himself. So he could hear that somebody, you know, is not just pushing record and not worrying about EQ and all the stuff that goes, the technical stuff that in the background. Mm-hmm. That to me is what I hear when I hear this record. It's like, it's fully produced. I don't think that if, let's say you got a record deal, that anybody would say, you need to go back to the studio and re-record these. And we'll get you with a better producer. And, you know, there's potential here, but we're going to throw some money at you and get you in the studio and work for, you know, 6 weeks to 2 months. And then you just re-record the album. It's like, I don't think you need that. You've got it all like right there. This is it. This is the album. And I don't know if you feel like you were satisfied with the final product. I hope you are, but did it satisfy your ears as you were just like listening back to it and going like, it's exactly what I was going for, or that's really close to what I had in my head.
Yeah. I think it is what I was looking for. I mean, like it being my first album and being on no timeline, I spent a lot of hours getting everything perfect. And I did a lot of like prep work, like editing, and like I didn't mix it though. I didn't mix and master the album. Mm-hmm. That was his name is Paul Alexander, and he actually has done everything I have out as of now. And he's wonderful. And I think that the more we work together, the more he understands what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the production though, it was just like, it was a lot of repeat listening, I guess, over months, because like I said, after post-graduation, my collaborators were living far apart. So I would go upstate to record drums one day and then save it for later. And then a month later we would do bass. So, I mean, going forward, honestly, like I would love to record my next project a little bit more live, or a little bit more like in a month instead of over the course of like 2 years. Just, I don't think you can, like, personally, like, I don't think you can tell that it was recorded over that amount of time, but just for me, like, it would, keeping that energy for the next stuff would be important.
But as a producer, you have in your head the sound you're going for, everything from the drums to how lush the keyboard should be to how aggressive, you know, the guitar tone should be, or not aggressive.
Right.
You know, whether to be more spare in the use of acoustic with, you know, creating space like that. I mean, these are all choices that producers make when they're in the studio. So for you to kind of map that out, like I said, I was so impressed that that's all you. I get that you worked with somebody who mixed it and mastered it, which is what most people do. I don't know of really any record producers that mix an album and master it.
Yeah.
So that's it's a sort of a team effort, but that, you know, great tones. It's got a lush sound. It really, really, really comes out of the speakers with a lot of separation and just a lot of dynamic range is what I'm trying to say. So
that's so great. I feel like as a producer, like I focus more on the actual like live recording that I'm doing and just getting it right then and as long of a take as possible.
Yeah.
And then focusing less on like post-production. Like, to be honest, like I don't do a lot with the effects and compression and EQ afterwards. I do, but like I do what's necessary, and then I try not to push it. I'm like, I still want it to sound like a band, not too computerized, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So now that the album is out and we're probably coming up, not quite a month yet, but it's getting there. So
yeah.
What are the reactions? What kind of reactions are you getting?
I'm getting so like, it's so nice to have an album out, just because there, I have been people that have been following me from online from my singles that are out, from the past 2 years. And just to be able to like share with them the excitement of putting out a body of work and then hearing their reactions to it has been incredible. There was one guy, I think he is from Florida. I believe he's entering his freshman year of college. He transcribed the entirety of my song, The Wheel, every instrument he created sheet music for.
Oh, wow.
And made this whole notation on his own. He's incredible. And he sent it to me. He's just like, oh, I just worked on this. And he had a few questions. He's like, what's the guitar doing there? And I'm like answering. And I'm like, I wonder what he's up to. And then it's actually incredibly accurate. I sent it to my man. They were blown away. So that was one response. And then the other biggest thing is that I have a song called Light Bill about a mural in Syracuse, New York. And I've been getting some really cool reactions from the people of Syracuse who are like, oh, I live near that mural. I drive past it on my way to work every day. And I'm like, now you have a song for it.
There you go. Yeah. Localized things. People will play it, right? There was a time there was a time when groups would like name check cities. So they would do special mixes where it would only be about that city. And so they could get a lot of airplay in that city, but that was a long time ago. I don't know if it was kind of a gimmicky thing, and not all bands did that, but there was always these sort of specialty recordings that would sometimes come out. So are you planning on touring this record and just getting out on the road with the band or a band?
The weekend it came out, we did like a celebration like show weekend. We played in Piermont, New York, which isn't far from my hometown. New York City, we played The Bitter End and it actually sold out. And that was such a cool feeling to be able to like play the city with the band release night. Like that was great. And then, Long Island and New Jersey. So you know what? Like similarly to 2 years ago, very local, regional. Right. However, this November, I'm going to be opening for this artist named Liana Flores on her US tour, like LA to New York and most of the larger cities in between. So I'm really excited about that. That'll be solo acoustic, no band.
Is she signed to a label? Is she out promoting a record? Is that what you're kind of the opener for that?
Yes, she's okay. going to have an album coming out. She's putting out singles now and she's signed to Verve Records. And she's fantastic. She kind of does more like bossa nova, acoustic, jazz, which is very like Verve. They have a lot of that kind of sound. So yeah, I was asked to open for her from her touring agency and I'm just going to be doing it myself in a guitar. It just makes sense with the traveling aspect of it.
Right.
But that's how I'm hoping to like, I'm kind of looking at it like this is really great exposure. She's playing much bigger rooms than I'm playing right now. So I'm just going to be able to get in front of an audience and tell them, hey, like you've never heard of me, but here are these songs kind of toned down maybe.
I was reading an article the other day about the resurgence in CD sales, that there is a generation that is, in their teens at this point in life, and they are tired of digital copies. They want physical copies of things. Even typewriters are making a comeback, which is kind of interesting. So everything's kind of like, I don't know, not quite analog, because it's obviously CDs are digital, products that have a player. I prefer CD personally because I like the expansive sound. I mean, obviously the use of MP3 is convenient.
Right. It's even washed.
Yeah, even when you're streaming it through your phone or if you have CarPlay or something like it. I mean, I can tell the difference between a stream and a physical copy. Mm-hmm. But then again, I'm one of those guys that's picky about sound. So I'm going to pick up on those things. But for most people, it's like, yeah, streaming, it's fine. It sounds good. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I keep thinking like, okay, well, one way is that I don't know if you have physical copies of the album or not, but definitely you don't. Okay, well then I guess it's maybe it's a discount code on Bandcamp or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Bandcamp allows you to upload the WAV file in its entirety, right? Like there's which is great. I finally put my stuff on Bandcamp. There were a few people asking. I'm happy I finally did it. And now I'm kind of in that world and checking out. I'm like, this is such a cool thing. And Bandcamp Friday, like no one is doing that except for them. Yeah. It's so nice. And then as far as CDs go, you're not the first person to ask. Like on the tour weekend, I had quite a few younger fans say, hey, do you have CDs? And I'm like, do I have what? Like, right. I didn't even think about that. I didn't think anyone would want them, but now I'm like, I mean, it's easy to make a CD. I should just make a few and it would be kind of a cool item to have.
Yeah. Autograph them. And that way, you know, there'd be kind of a collector's item. And I think that, you know, fans, when they find an artist and they glom onto them, they kind of want to collect stuff, you know, from them.
Yeah.
Speaking of CDs, and especially in this day and age where everything is streamed, and I kind of tip my hand to my next question, which is, you know, it is difficult to stand out when there's so much music out there that's uploaded every day to streaming services like Spotify or Apple Music. I saw an article in Forbes magazine that said something like there are 60,000 new songs every day uploaded to Spotify alone. 60,000. And it's probably similar to Apple and YouTube and YouTube Music, but I know you're just kind of starting out. This is your first album. You've had some songs, you played with some bands. But this is like, you're not in school anymore. This is Allie, you know, starting her career. How have you thought about how to stand out when there's just this fire hose of music out there that it feels like your work's going to get kind of buried?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's one that like, I feel like if I think about too long, it just seems too daunting. But I think the best thing I can do is just my band and I, we love being at the show, but also talking to everyone in the audience. We love hanging out at the merch table after and like, genuinely getting to know people. And I think that that is such a huge aspect of it that people don't think about enough. Like, how can I stand out in my music? I'm like, the music is the music I'm making. Like, I'm not going to change that and try to go down a certain path to be niche. So I think the best thing I can do is just while touring, like, be in it, you know? I mean, and make personal connections with people and talk to them and learn their names and like get to know them. And then next time we're in that city, see them again. Like, that is huge. And that's just being a person. But I mean, as far as music goes, people remember that and it makes the whole thing way more fulfilling. We just played in East Long Island last night. So it's a city called Bayport. And a few weeks prior, we had also played in Long Island. And there were people that we met at that show who came back to this one. And I was like, hi.
Really?
Hi, you're here.
Okay.
Yes. And that is like, that is what we've wanted. Like, that is, you know, you want to see those people again because they liked the music and they had a great time and we talked to them after. And then it's like, I don't know. I just, that is such a huge part of it for me. I make music because it's for me. And then when we go out and play it, it's about like meeting people, I guess.
I think that personal touch is of an era that's how bands used to build their audience, right? I mean, they still do. They still tour. They still, you know, hey, very grateful for everyone that comes out to see us. We know you could have done a million other things this evening, but you came out to see us. But it kind of gets to the power of live music. Last year, I got to see a few bands that I sort of took a gamble on, but the tickets were affordable-ish. They weren't like $300 or $400 or anything like that, but it was more like $75. And then there was these bands that I had never heard of before, even though they had been recording since the mid-90s. They're a progressive rock band from England. They have a funny name called the Pineapple Thief, and they were playing in San Francisco, and the tickets were like $30. And I heard the song The Frost come on Apple New Music, their New Music Daily stream. Okay. And I was all like, I'm driving to work and I'm like, holy crap, who's this? This drummer sounds just like Gavin Harrison. Right. And I'm like,
did you get it right?
I did. I did. I was just like,
from the drum sound?
Yeah, from the drum sound, because I knew Gavin Harrison's work from another band that has a funny name, Porcupine Tree. And they just put out a live album. So I was watching the videos and I'm driving to work. I'm like, God, that's the way the phrasing, everything. It's like, and so I get to work and I Google it. I'm all like, he's in the band. They've got a whole discography that I'm not aware of. So I dragged, unfortunately, my long suffering wife to go see these prog rock bands. And so she came and I was blown away. It was a small venue, was maybe 400 capacity.
Yeah.
But here I'm watching these accomplished musicians up close. And it was just like, so that's how they do it. I guess what I'm saying is that the power of live music is there. I mean, even for an old guy like me, I still get excited about seeing bands and learning about them and things like that. So I think you're doing the right things of doing the personal touch, you know, meeting the people, playing and being just passionate about your music and hopefully getting them being the audience excited about what you're doing as well.
If I could just play live all the time with the band, I would. Like, I would love to just, you know, be like primarily a live band. But the thing that like the music industry people will tell you is like, it's all about social media now. Like, it is. Forget what you thought you knew. Like, I mean, we kind of knew, but So that's something I do want to get better at. Like, I think I try to post pretty consistently, but
you do.
It feels like, I don't know. You're just trial and error.
I'm going to push back a little bit on, you know, it's all about social media now, because I look at live experiences that people are willing to pay a lot of money to go see. Granted, a lot of these are legacy bands and people my age and older, they want to see their heroes from when they were in their teens and 20s. But some of the top grossing live acts are like rock acts that, I mean, and rock music really isn't that popular in terms of a genre that that sells a lot of CDs or gets a lot of streams, but
right.
But the live experience is something that I think is truly powerful because it only happens at that time. It won't happen. That moment will never happen again. Yes. You know, you could see a recording of it, but if mm-hmm. you're really, and I think that this is why even younger people gravitate towards the live experience is because you can replay this stuff on your phone whenever you want to, but this thing, this performance is happening this night at this time. And you're not going to hear these songs the same way ever again, maybe.
I mean, I love that take. And I believe that too. I just hope that in general, the masses appreciate that more than social media all the time. It's because not only just because it's so accessible, I guess.
But. Yeah. And I feel like with the social media stuff, it feels very like flash in the pan, right? You put something out there mm-hmm. and you hope you get some engagement over it, but then people move on to the next thing and they're scrolling yeah. to other content. And so if it's that infinite scroll, it feels like, well, how do I stand out? And I guess the advice you got was you just got to keep putting out videos and images and music clips and maybe mm-hmm. a little tutorial on how you did that one where you did like a tutorial on Ace on how to play the opening riff.
I want to do that again for this album. I should.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that a lot of people will listen to the record and think, how did she do that? And then mm-hmm. you say, I'll reveal the magic. You know, here it is. So as we're closing out, you want to do a song? Which song do you want to do?
Let's off the do record? It.
Which one do you want to do?
I think I'll probably do the title track.
Okay. Love that song. Yeah. And this is Ali Sant doing In Pursuit of a Good Time. Kind of an exclusive right here on Planet LP.
Here we are once again. I am showing to an audience a suitcase of the places that I've been. And it feels like a win. I'll admit it's been a minute since I've stood here on my business, but you know how the years go, slipping through and in between. All of the people that we love and books we read, all of the ways we measure how we live and breathe. Don't you find it gets easier, time goes by, and you feel a little bit justified in goodbyes, but I'm in pursuit of a good time. Here we are on the road, seeing Illinois and Iowa and all of the Midwestern ones up close. Well, we've seen all the plates on the backs of motor vehicles. We've only been to New York State. I just got back from calling quits with my old band. Call it a compromise or call it getting canned. Call it relief from all the bad times that we've had. Ooh. Don't you find it gets harder as time goes by, and you feel a little bit justified in goodbyes, but I'm in pursuit of a good time. Don't you find
it gets easier, time goes by, and you feel a little bit satisfied in goodbyes, but I'm in pursuit of a good time. There's a version of us that I only get to know so gently, set up in our camp chairs in the dusk. There's a version of me that I only get to know when I'm forgetting I knew you entirely.
That was really lovely. Thank you so much, Allie. That was great. I feel very... very fortunate to have connected with you through these years and watch your career grow, and you grow as a songwriter and a vocalist and even on the technical side and doing the being a producer. So thank you so much. The best of luck to you on this record. I hope that more and more people discover it, enjoy it, and that this tour that you're going on is just the beginning of a long career for you.
Thank you so much. I love coming onto Planet LP and talking to you. It is one of my favorites. So thank you again for having me.
You're very welcome. And that's going to do it for Planet LP, at least this episode. I'll be back soon right here on Planet LP, talking music like I always do. All right. Take care, everyone.